to the Real God for Real People podcast, where we talk about how a real God desires to intervene in our real situations every day. And so with that being said, really been thinking through, and one of the topics I wanted to discuss today is, hey, how do we genuinely move past hurt or things that have hurt us, right, for the sake of moving forward and forgiving, right? And so how do we have these things that hurt us generally, either from those close to us or those that we didn't even think were capable of hurting us, right, emotionally, physically, whatever those may be, and avoid resentment to that person and push forward towards forgiveness, right? And so for me, even in my own personal life, I've been thinking through, hey, man, there's just been a lot of transition going on 2 years in October of being in a new state. Even when I was younger, you know, had a transition from Gainesville, Florida, where I grew up for about 17 years, to Charleston, South Carolina, right? Completely different culture, completely different background, even down to church culture being different. Like, I remember going to a church in a city or a town called Mount Pleasant, right? And they would sing songs, and they believed, because I grew up in the church, that I knew these songs, and I had no idea that even some gospel songs, like back home songs, were just different. But as I look back over my life, as the old folks say, and think things over, I can truly say that I'm blessed. I understand those phrasings more now, right? They were just commonly said statements when I was younger about how God is faithful, how God continues to walk with us, how God continues to be present and a present help. But that doesn't mean that he protects us from danger or he protects us from suffering. He actually promises the opposite, that we will endure suffering. But in that suffering, we will be reminded that he suffered too. Like the scriptures would say, hey, is a teacher any greater than a master? I mean, than a student. Is a teacher any greater than a student? Excuse me there. He says to his disciples before he goes to the cross, hey, I suffered. Hey, man, you're going to suffer just as much or maybe even more in my absence. And he's marking this as a sign of being a follower, which is really or student of Christ, or the way, as they would say, in that time. And as I think through it more, man, that is just a hard concept to grasp or get a full understanding around, is God plans for us to suffer. And in our suffering, we should expect that he is a person of his word, right? That should bring us joy, not bring us deeper into some level of hopelessness, right? But if we're honest, and I think I've had experience that too, no one enjoys suffering. No one enjoys turmoil or trials or persecution. And to be fair, even from an American standpoint, what we endure here compared to other countries on a spiritual level, even on a physical persecution level, is nothing to be compared, right? But what I'm learning is if we don't process these trials, these sufferings, these traumas well, man, it shows itself up in different ways. So one of the books that I was reading and going through with some interns at our church is a book about being a peacemaker by a guy called Sandy. And he broke down how people deal with conflict in three different ways. Either they are a peace breaker, a peacemaker, or a peace faker. And I think this applies very well to suffering in the sense that when we endure conflict and it doesn't go the way we think it should go, and we begin to suffer because of the brokenness that is in this world that we all experience and we all are tempted by, when these things happen, we fall into one of these three categories. And as he broke down the peacemaking, the main objective of that category of conflict resolution and trying to maintain peace and process suffering well, He broke it down to mean, hey, you are trying to maintain the peace that is given to you through God and peace with your fellow brother, either in Christ or just in the world, so that the gospel can be shared, right? And he would break it down to, hey, you may overlook, you may look for some level of a mediation between the person you have conflict with. If you can't, if you can't find common ground. He even spoke about, hey, if this is the case and you are able to simply forgive or simply find a way to overlook the offense, man, do it, mainly because God overlooks ours. But what I really appreciated was that was kind of, if we're looking at a semicircle, the peacemaking was like the middle of the semicircle, if you broke it up into three triangles. But the right and the left were two different extremes of where the peace is being disposed of or disregarded. And one person, and more to the right of that semicircle, that third triangle, was peace breaking, which is a person who has no desire to either maintain the peace, to avoid the resentment, to avoid the anger, the bitterness. This person thrives in it, right? And if we're honest, that's a lot of us, right? If we're honest, when we complain about things that are minor, we are thriving in the fact that we have conflict with someone and we're entertained by it. We want it to be there, right? We may not want to just dismiss it, right? But we definitely want to simply to make it bigger than what it is. And so as I thought through it some more, the peace breaker, the most extreme of the peace breaker, or the person who's thriving in this resentment and not forgiving, right, is a person who really wants to eliminate the person that has broken their peace or caused them suffering or caused them persecution. And that person, the extreme of that would be to murder or assault. Right. But then what intrigued me when I looked at it some more was that that person also wanted to take more than what was owed. Right. And there's a biblical concept of reaping and sowing and an eye for an eye. And Jesus kind of gives a whole nother distinction there. When he lives is, hey, you would say in the past an eye for an eye, right? But he says, hey, if your brother offends you, turn the other cheek. Or he says, if your brother hurts you, forgive them 7 times 77. Basically, lose count of how much grace you've given to him. But what got me and kind of struck a chord with me is the extreme of the peace breaker would be one that now wants to take more than even what was owed. And it was talking about litigation, or a simpler term would be to sue someone, right? And the joke growing up would be kind of, hey, you know, keep a water bottle in the car. If you get in a car wreck, then, you know, just toss a little bit of water and try to add on to pain and suffering. With the, you know, the old classic phrase, like you got whiplash from getting hit in the back. And now thinking back, these are funny and comical, but they aren't right. You're basically like, hey, I don't want just the damages for my car. I want a pay raise. You know, I want a payday today. But that would be the person who's not even trying to maintain the peace, living in resentment, living in a space in which they want more than even what is owed. But what really struck me was the other side of the person who's trying to not maintain peace, really living in a level of resentment and bitterness and not even wanting to address it. So they're not trying to maintain peace and deal with conflict. They're also not trying to maintain peace and deal with resentment before it becomes anger and bitterness. They are living in resentment on the left side of the semicircle of conflict resolution, in which they feel as though they have to fake the funk. They would deny the conflict or the persecution or the suffering. They would just act as if everything is good and nothing bad is happening because they're in Christ, right? But that's unbiblical if we really think about the scriptures, right? If we look at church history, if we look at just our world as a whole, to assume that we won't endure persecution by standing on, as the young folks say, business of the scriptures, of the gospel, It's against everything Christ said would happen. And if we believe that, then we're calling him a liar. Like, we have to own which one is it going to be. And so it really had me perplexed, because the extreme of the peace faker, the person living in this resentment, wanting to completely avoid conflict, wanting to completely avoid persecution, not even wanting to address or feel struggle, is a person who decides they don't even want to live, right? To a degree. They feel as though their presence isn't needed, warranted, and they might even be the source of the persecution or the conflict. And as I thought through that some more, it really broke my heart, because for me, hey, if a person isn't trained to even see that this person has gone through so much and there's so much resentment, bitterness, that they're actually resenting their own existence, man, how are we supposed to serve and give them hope and light? And this is, once again, why I love even doing stuff like this podcast, because I can talk through some of these things with you all and think through, hey, man, what are some things we can even be on the lookout for a person who has had a rough go and is trying to put on a mask as if they're okay and they're not? They're living in this resentment and living in this space of hopelessness, and no one is seeing it. For the person whom you can clearly see, they're very not present in class when they're around. They're very withdrawn. When they are invited to social events, they always say no. They're always busy. And then when you come either to their house or you see them, you even can tell the way they're keeping themselves compared to how they've naturally kept themselves in the past. It's completely different. For me, those are some signs, right? And I'm not a professional in this space yet, so don't take anything I'm saying right now as gospel truth, but it is what I'm learning in the coursework that I'm taking, and the things that I'm seeing, is that we all are dealing with how do we process our past in a way that pushes us towards our future. And for me, I consistently want to be used by the Lord to help others to do that and to help them make their next spiritual step. One of the things he's been kind of even working with me in my space, personally, career-wise, everything in all that order, is, hey, understand every experience is to help me to learn, to help me to grow, and then eventually help me to go. And even with whom I lead, it should go in that same space. I'm teaching them to help them to learn. I'm putting them in a space or a platform to help them to grow into all God's called them to be, and then helping them to go, sending them out. And when we do this well and people are living in their purpose, I just feel like they're able to maintain their identity in the midst of life storms. And when the reason they're able to do that is because they have a personal relationship with God that pushes them forward into reaching out to others to find that personal relationship for themselves. And so I'm ending this one off real quick with a scripture. Many of you guys probably have heard it before, or heard the story before of Joseph and how he goes through slavery, how he goes through imprisonment, and then how he goes through seeing what feels like his replacement when his brothers have a new younger brother after they sold him into slavery. And so his brothers go to see him, but they don't recognize him because God has kind of transitioned him out of what he's been through into what he's called him to be and his purpose. And he's being used by God to now at this point save all of Egypt from a famine. So God uses his experience, uses his dream, and his dream and his ability to interpret dreams later becomes the saving grace to a country that doesn't even believe in God. Kind of explaining how sometimes our persecution, our experiences aren't just for us, but they're for others to learn, grow, and go. And so by the time it gets to Genesis 45, the brothers have come. They've now, Joseph has a decision to make whether he's going to be a peace breaker or a peacemaker. I think he's already kind of past the peace faker because he feels all of the rage of being enslaved by his brothers because of their jealousy of his dream, right? and he imprisons the younger brother, who is the replacement. The older brother goes back, and then he comes, and in Genesis 45, his heart breaks, that being Joseph, because now he realizes, man, it was God that kept me through all of these different struggles. And now I have a choice to make, whether to be a peacemaker and not allow the resentment to take root, or be a peace breaker and attack those who have hurt me. And so in Genesis 45, it says, then Joseph could not control himself before all those who stood before him. He cried, make everyone go out from me. So no one stayed with him. When Joseph made himself known to his brothers, and he wept aloud, so the Egyptians heard it, and the household of Pharaoh heard it, and Joseph said to his brothers, I am Joseph. Is my father still alive? But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed at his presence. So Joseph said to his brothers, come near to me, please. And they came near, and he said, I am your brother Joseph, whom you have sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed or angry with yourself because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve your life. For the famine has been in the land for 2 years, and there are yet 5 years which there will be neither plowing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant on earth, to keep you alive, for you many survivors. What I loved about this specific text, right, is it speaks to the fact that God ordained our struggles. He doesn't plan them. When I say that, he doesn't initiate them. Our sin is the catalyst for struggles, pain, and suffering. But he ordains them in his will for one purpose, to grow us into everything he desires for us to be. And two, to use our struggles for gospel conversations. It's usually one of those two, right? And so if we were to change our perspective about struggle from how could this happen to me to why is this happening? And Lord, what are you trying to teach me? I think it will help us to move past different levels of anxiety that all people struggle with. It just looks different for each person. It'll help move us towards simply confidence and assurance in him. And three, it'll move us to that phrase, to begin to learn, to begin to grow, and begin to go. And so you guys, I always love doing these. And I'm glad to be kind of getting back towards some content and just talking through, hey, the things I'm learning in this season as well. But for you guys that are new to the pod, if you want to leave us some feedback, you can add on to our Instagram, which is PreacherManS. And if you want to also send us an email, we send an email to realpeople@gmail.com. But man, just thank you for taking the time to listen. And I just pray that during this week, you can think through how the Lord is allowing suffering in giving you the choice to move towards resentment or to move towards confidence and assurance that he is a man of his word. Because I truthfully believe he is trying to push us towards learning, growing, and going. And man, I just want to go wherever he sends me and have some fun stories along the way about it. So I will talk to you guys soon. See you later.